Welcome to the Hook Podcast by Cuzzy Bros Fishing. This episode, we have a good chat to Glenn Watt, Barefoot Fishing Safaris. Glenn's one of those dudes that went out on a limb and is now living his dream. Hope you enjoy this episode.
On the boat, mayhem on just one more.
Oh, what a fish.
All right, so got Glenn from Barefoot Fishing Safaris up north on the podcast. Welcome to the Hook Podcast, mate.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Give us a bit of background on yourself, mate. So Barefoot Fishing Safaris, how did that all start and what's the go?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess starting early on, like a lot of us, I guess in the sort of 90s and early 2000s and even late 80s, grew up watching Rex Hunt and Starlo and Bushy and these fellas, Malcolm Douglas and the Bush Tucker Man, Albie Mangles. I was obsessed with all that sort of stuff, and growing up on the farm, I had a pretty outdoorsy sort of lifestyle. So that sort of flowed on after I finished boarding school and yeah, sort of, what was it? Might have been 15 years later, I ended up sort of in Darwin full time after some station work and all sorts of things all around the world. But yeah, chased a bit of a dream, mate, and got a start. And after I did 2 years work for other blokes and sort of learning the ropes, I went out on my own, and that was, you know, 9 years ago now. So yeah, it seems like last week, but yeah, time flies when you're having fun, as they say.
Yeah, it always makes it easy when you're doing something that you love. It doesn't seem like work at all, does it?
No, that's right. Like, I got out of bed at 4 this morning to go to work, like probably half of Australia did, but the difference between me is I was very excited, so it's easy for me. I've got a 3-day trip starting tomorrow, and same thing, you know, I'll go through till 10 or 11 o'clock tonight getting ready for it, and then I'll be up at 4 and charging out the door to go and pick the boys up and hook in.
So give us a bit of a background then on your setup and what you sort of do. So you obviously run fishing charters, but do you tailor those fishing charters for individuals, or you've got a set package, or what's the deal?
No, it's very tailored stuff, my stuff, mate. It ranges from, you know, families and first timers doing half day charters in Darwin Harbour through the dry season, right through to the really specialised sort of week long fly fishing stuff, even potentially chasing world records and things. But guys that come up every year or a couple of times a year, and fishing for, you know, up to a week long packages out of a mothership up to West Arnhem Land or down towards the Kimberley or all these sorts of things and everything in between. The majority of the stuff that I do for the interstate tourism market, which is 99% of it, is that sort of 3 to 5 day package for, you know, a group of 3 or 4 mates who are keen fishermen. They might have been to Darwin once or twice. A lot of them have been out for a day trip with me before, and then they'll come back and have a go, say, the following year or later that year, do the runoff or whatever. So it's really good because, you know, I've got guys now that I've taken out every year for 10 years, and they become your mates, and it's something you really look forward to seeing them every year. And you know, like, that just adds to the enjoyment of the job, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So obviously, it's awesome to hear that you've gone out and chased your dream and now you're living it. Not many people have the guts, I suppose, to really chase a dream. And you know, let's be honest, the old fishing industry is a pretty make or break sort of industry, especially now with YouTube and the internet and all these other sort of ways of producing and doing your product. You've got to have something that stands you out from the rest of the crowd. And if you've got people that are coming back year after year, that says a lot about your service and your fishing business. So that's awesome, mate.
Yeah, it is. Like, you're dead right. It's not easy in Australia to make a living out of fishing. I think we all get maybe a little bit tricked by the stuff that happens in the States, where you can be a pro bass fisherman, or it seems like half the country is, as well as all the professional YouTubers and this sort of thing. But in Australia, you know, our market's a fraction of the United States market, and I think the only way, if you really want to make a living out of fishing in Australia, is to be a guide. And you know, the literal terms are that that means that you don't get to go fishing much anymore. I spend 200 days a year watching people go fishing, but I spend a lot less time actually fishing for myself now. So it's a decision you've got to make. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a lifestyle job for me. And I just get so much enjoyment out of bringing, you know, getting even just a little kid, their first little golden snapper off a rock bar, you know, or right up to, you know, we got some meter barra this year, of course, and that sort of stuff brings an equal amount of joy to me. But you don't get into this game so that you can go fishing every day and catch more fish yourself. That's the opposite of it.
Yeah, and I suppose that's what sets a good guide apart from, you know, an average guide too, I suppose. Like the guys that really put the time and effort into their clients, spend that time, work really hard to get them that trophy fish or even that first fish, makes the difference. And obviously, you've got the success up there with the backing and the history and the time that you've been doing it. So that's awesome, mate.
Yeah, I mean, anyone can tell when you don't. So it's very important to care. And you know, like we did plenty of fishing charters before I started doing this, and you can tell in 10 seconds if someone cares, if they're there to help you or not, if they're just there for the money. So, you know, my guys all know that I care about them. And yeah, like it really is like going fishing with my mates every day. I'm so lucky in that regard.
Yeah. So what sort of gear you're running up there? So boat wise and that, what are you fishing out of?
Yeah. So I've got the same boat that I've had for a lot, since the start of the business. It's 6.7 meter south wind. So it's a banana boat style. It's long and skinny. So it goes through our chop that we wind chop we have up here. We don't tend to get swell up here too much, but that we can get some nasty wind chop from time to time. So it slices through that, but it also floats in about 20 centimetres of water. So I'm up on the flats doing side casting for barra like I was today and I will be tomorrow. In that, it's a great old fiberglass boat, 200 litres of fuel and a brand new, actually, 175 V6 Mercury. So we've got plenty of range and plenty of power. We can push that big esky full of beers and half a dozen blokes, or four blokes, around all day. As far as tackle goes, we run all Shimano gear. They've been great supporters of me throughout. Yeah, the rigs I'm running at the moment for the estuary barra stuff is a 7'2" jewel. It's a 3 to 6 kilo, I think, with some 20-pound braid and a 3,000 Stratic. Pretty hard to beat the old CI4 Stratic. And then got half a dozen of those new SLX Shimano DC combos for the bait caster stuff. 6-foot rods, they're a medium action, and run 30-pound braid and a bit heavier leader on them for when we're doing our trolling and casting at heavy timber with bigger lures and things like that. But predominantly this time of year, I guess we're getting out of the true estuary fishing this time of year and going towards the build-up stuff. So we'll be using the bait casters a lot more. We're around the HDS 16-inch live Lowrance sounder. It's an amazing bit of kit. Really changes the way you fish once you figure out how to use that structure scan and then that 80-pound Mincota as well. So she's got all the bells and whistles on her, the old girl, and it's pulled around by a 200 series Land Cruiser too. So I'm pretty spoiled in that regard.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Awesome. So obviously it sounds like the barra are the big draw card up your way. Is that pretty fair to say? Is that what most people are signing up to come and chase?
Yeah, that's right. We're always sort of termed Darwin as a barra destination with the other stuff attached. There's plenty of operators out there that just do the reef fishing for their dewies and snapper and trout and things like this, and I do plenty of that as well, but yeah, it's always tagged along with a barra charter, and particularly that March, April, May, it's for me, it's pretty much all barra. And yeah, that's, you know, that can be good and bad because they're not the easiest fish in the world to catch, as we know. But when you do get them, it's a very rewarding thing. So that's great.
Yeah, awesome. You haven't managed to snag that $1 million barra that's swimming around up there?
No, not for a lack of trying, though. I tell you, I know where they release a fair few of these fish, and they tend not to move too much early. So maybe this year, you know, we've got heavily booked for October and November already. So with any luck, we might be able to snag a couple of tag fish and even get that $10,000 fish. It would be a good start.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Awesome. I know you've got some internet stuff going on as well. So you've got a subscription-based thing sort of happening at the moment. What's the deal with that, and what's the plans for that?
Yeah, mate, this is a bit of a one of many harebrained schemes that I seem to have. They change daily, but this one seems to have stuck, and it's got a bit of a following now. So I've got a membership through the charter where you can sign up to be an annual member. Costs you about 70 cents a day, and then you can go, you'll be in the draw to win 10 free-day fishing charters a year, as well as prize packs and charter discounts and all sorts of stuff. So the job that I'm actually starting tomorrow is actually the first of the members' charter draws for two guys, and then you've got the option to bring another couple if you like. So yeah, be doing one of those every month, free charter, mate. And once we get enough members, the more it grows, the more we can start putting into it. I've got some hotel deals cooking up, and you know, we'll start paying for flights and stuff hopefully by this time next year, and it'll be a, you know, it should be a one-stop shop. You get your name drawn out, and you jump on the plane and you get 3 days fishing and accommodation for nothing. So it's a cool little thing. No one's done it in Australia before, but you know, you gotta have a bit of a go and try something different. And like I say, it's a way for me to give back to the guys who supported me for that first sort of 7 years of the business, and you know, give them the opportunity to get a bit of money off or also, you know, win a free trip. So pretty excited about where it's going. We've got another 3 or 4 trips to do for this year, and then of course next year will be chock-a-block. There'll be trips March, April, May, you know, right in that peak runoff time. So if you get your number drawn out for a March or April trip, you know, that's a barramundi fisherman's dream to come up at that time of year. So, you know, good luck to everyone.
Yeah, awesome, mate. It's really good, like, people like yourself, you know, obviously make a living off this, but also being able to give back to the people that have helped you. And that's really awesome, mate. And it sounds like it's really growing traction. And for 70 cents a day for the chance to win, you know, a trip up there, like what's a normal trip cost? Like, what are you sort of looking at?
Yeah, so these ones, like this trip these guys have won starting tomorrow, it's close to $6,000 worth of fishing charters. So they'll remember for, I think, 2 months. So it probably cost them about $30-odd, and they've got $6,500 worth of fishing charter out of it. So that's for them, it's really great. And for me at the moment, it's not covering its bum, but eventually with enough members it will. And the more we get, the more we can put into it. So it's 3 days out of a month for me, but it's a really rewarding way to give back to the clients that support me throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah, awesome, mate. That's excellent, to be honest. Like, I haven't heard of too many other people doing that sort of stuff at all that are running charters, and to sort of make yourself stand out from the crowd, that's even better. But like I said, to be able to give back to people, that's awesome, mate. So obviously, been talking about running your charters and having guys turn up. So getting back to yourself now, what's the bucket list fish? Like the one that you get out of bed for, the one that you want to go and chase. If you had your way, what was that? What's that one fish you're still yet to get?
If I could hop out of bed tomorrow and go on a 3-day trip to target a fish around here, I would want to be trying to catch a really big Saratoga. I've caught enough big barra now that I've sort of scratched that itch to a large degree. But the Saratoga, you know, the biggest ones I've ever landed on guided fishing is like 75 centimetres. And I know I've had them on bigger myself, but they're such tenacious and dirty fighters, and they just brick you every time, you know. Like, I've definitely had 80s and 85s on, I reckon, but the areas that sort of target would take me to, profoundly beautiful and rugged and untouched, as well as the challenge of the fishing and the nature of the style of fishing that you do to catch a Saratoga. A lot of it's surface and aggressive aerials. Yeah, that. If I could go and catch a fish tomorrow, I'd want to catch a 90-plus Saratoga. I've seen a photo of one on a brag mat that was over 90 centimetres, and that's the only one I've ever seen. So, yeah, I think it's a harder fish to catch, a metre Saratoga, than a metre barra. So that'd be me. But I don't know where to go and get it. Arnhem Land somewhere where no one else has ever been, I think, could be the trick.
Yeah, nice, mate. That's awesome, obviously. So what is the biggest barra that you've got so far?
Well, let's say the biggest one we got for a client this year was 117. That was caught. Yes. Well, we were sight casting, but it was down a bit deeper off a ledge, and yeah, I mean a massive fish in anyone's language, but to do it in an estuary situation with a short cast of less than 10 meters was pretty extraordinary. The biggest one I've netted for a client is 121, and that was the same thing. That was a short cast, 3 meter cast to a stump on a low tide in a lock-in creek, and yeah, the creature that came out of the water on that first jump, you wouldn't think he'd fit in the river that we were in, but yeah, that anything over 75 is a good barra, but you know, once you get over a meter, they're scary, those things.
So obviously, being up north, do you have the croc tacks? Do you lose many of them to the wildlife up there?
Yeah, not so much crocodiles. I mean, this is something that everyone asks about the crocodiles. Very rarely get a fish taken by crocodiles. In runoff, maybe sometimes, maybe once or twice a year. But the ones we do have trouble with are the bull sharks. Certain rivers and places, times a year, bull sharks will be onto a barra and snip him in half before you even know what's going on. So, yeah, we try and avoid that if we can. But once the sharks get a taste for them, as we all know, barra are pretty tasty. And once they get a taste for them, they lurk around, and you've got to move spots pretty much to get away from them. So they're the biggest problem, yeah.
All right, then. Well, yeah, that's handy to know. So what are the other highlights that you've got up there? So, you know, on the bucket list, if it wasn't Australia, if you could go anywhere and fish, where would you go?
There's two that are probably equal place for me. I'd love to, and it's not out of the realms of consideration at some stages. A fair few blokes from up here duck across to PNG and get stuck into the black bass.
Yep.
I'd love to lure cast at black bass in timber. And then the next one, I guess, which is sort of following my fly fishing routes, is those big tarpon over in Mexico and southern US. So I've actually got a world record tarpon in Australia, but you know, it was 70 centimeters and 2.5 kilos or something. And those things they get over in the States are extraordinary. And I can find myself very late at night and halfway through a box of beer watching YouTube videos about both black bass and those big oxeye tarpon, and they get over there. They're extraordinary, both of them.
Yeah, awesome, mate. And what about the future for the barefoot fishing safaris? Like, where do you see yourself, and what's the big plan?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, this membership thing, I'm going to push it as far as I can. And the big vision is in 10 years' time, we're just doing members trips. So, and we're paying for flights and meals and accommodation and everything for members. You know, people that can sign up for a year and they're in the draw. At the moment, it's 10 a year just so that we can do one a month in our good fishing season. But if we could do one a week, one 3 or 4 day or a week with everything included, and people, you know, coming up to do these trips for the price of a can of beer every couple of days, that would, for me, just be such a great thing. And the joy and excitement you see on these guys' face when they win something and they're getting a trip of a lifetime for bugger all, like that's what it's going to be for me in years to come. I don't ever plan on having more boats and have guides working for me and this, that, the other. I just want to have fun with my clients, and I think this is going to be the best way to do it in the long term. And you know, if I can pay the bills at the same time, well, happy days.
Yeah, awesome, mate. It's awesome to hear, like I said at the start, it's awesome to hear someone that's gone out, chased their dream, and is now really making it a reality. And that's really good to hear. I mean, we've got a bit of a plan of our own as well, and it's good speaking to people like yourself that have actually gone out, backed themselves and made it a reality. And now, like I said, you've been able to give back and really introduce a whole different group of people to the joys of fishing, whether it's chasing barra or, you know, going chasing one of your other target species up there. So that's awesome, mate. It's, yeah, you're living my dream at the moment, so I'm pretty jealous.
Yeah, a lot of people say I'm living their dream, Dan, but I can tell you now, if you and me at 8 o'clock last night underneath my boat trailer fixing wheel bearings in the Mozzies and the Midgies up here, you probably wouldn't have been thinking that was part of the original dream. But certainly the, you know, what where if you've got a goal and you're working towards it, you know, I'm happy to be rolling around the mud fixing wheel bearings because I know that tomorrow I'm going to have fun because of it. So yeah, I wouldn't say I'm lucky. It's been a lot of hard work, like anyone who works for themselves would know. But yeah, like it's so rewarding, and I'm going to keep going.
No, it's awesome, mate. Is it like you really, really are making me envious, and you're giving me something to shoot for. So that's awesome. You're going to keep me on my game, which is excellent. So what's the best way of getting a hold of you and getting a booking for a trip up there with the old barefoot fishing safaris?
Yeah, mate, the easiest way is either go straight through. I mean, Facebook page has got 10,500 followers on it now. Instagram's pretty busy as well. You can direct message me through either of them. And, you know, I may or may not get back to you straight away. I've got a really good man on the ground in the office, Mike, who answers all the emails that come through the website as well. So either Mike or myself will reply to any message within a couple of hours through the Barefoot Fishing Safaris Facebook page, Instagram or website. If you can't get hold of us there, I don't think we're in the yellow pages, are we? But I don't think that's even a thing anymore.
Yeah, I don't even think it exists anymore, does it, yellow pages?
Mate, the other one, I suppose, TripAdvisor's been really good for us too. I always say to people to do a bit of due diligence with everything you do in life, of course, but fishing charters is something that can really make or break a trip depending on if you're on the same wavelength as your guide. And, you know, my guys, I think the reason I have so much fun with my clients is because they follow the Facebook page, they follow the Instagram, they know the general vibe of things that are happening and they know what I'm going to be like. So I tend not to get guys that don't match how I like to do things, which makes it great, and they just go with someone else who does match it. So if you're doing your DD and you want to look at, you know, what other people have said, TripAdvisor is always a great one as well. We use it every day for doing our other stuff. And, you know, there's Google reviews and Facebook reviews and all that sort of thing as well. But, yeah, that's my main, like the number one tip I always say to everyone is that you might not like coming out fishing with me because I might play the music too loud for you or make you scull beers every time you cast a lure into a tree or something like that. But plenty of people do enjoy doing that sort of stuff. So they're the guys I end up with. So that's great. Yeah, any of those online things that you'll get hold of us in no time flat.
Yeah, awesome, mate. And anything else that you wanna add in? Anything that we should know about? Anything that we should prepare for, or anything that you got sort of keeping under wraps that you want to release early? Or
well, there's not. I mean, there is a couple of things that I'm keeping under wraps at the moment. But I guess I could give you a clue, and that's that I'm not going to be in the old South Wind next year. There'll be a different vessel floating around out on the water, which is a very exciting thing for me. It's going to be absolutely custom built to how I like to fish and how my guys like to fish when they're with me. So that's going to be good. But the big thing that I encourage people to think about now, like listening to this in the next couple of months, and is that right now, September, October, November is when we're taking bookings for March, April, May.
Yep.
So you've got to get the best tides to suit what you want to do, because I can tailor it to old guys that want to troll for barra on rock bars, or I can tailor it to guys that want to throw a backpack on and go walking for 3 days. You need to get in early, sign up to be a member, and you get 10% discount on your extended charter bookings for a start. So you're making money as well as being in a chance to win all these prizes. But get it done early. Whoever you're going to go out with, whether it's me or someone else, get it booked in early, and then you'll have the very best chance of success. So that's the main thing I try and get across to people this time of year.
Yeah, and it's a good point that you bring up there, booking early. If you are chasing that record fish or a specific targeted fish, you need to do the research for the best time. And obviously, charters, you know, aren't cheap, and you're paying a guide to put you on the spot, which is always putting the pressure on yourself and making things a bit harder. But if you do your research, you're going to give yourself the best chance as well. Not only just having that guide that's, you know, all over his job and what you're doing, but it'll help yourself with that chance of nailing that fish of a lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Look, the more I know about my clients, the better I can tailor the trips to them. So I really love having a talk on the phone to them for an hour at a time, getting to know them, how much they fish, what they want to do, what they don't want to do, and then, you know, like your money's well spent. If you just book a trip without having a yarn to someone, you may or may not get sort of what you want and what you deserve and the best out of your guide, because, you know, it's a bit of a team effort out there on the water, so everyone needs to be on the same page. So it's very important.
No, awesome, mate. Well, it's been really good having a chat to you. I've got to be honest, the barra fishing has never really been something that I've thought about or really, to be honest, really been interested in. But I've got a lot of mates that love doing it, and they're always talking about the meter barra, and I suppose that's the bucket list for a lot of them. And, you know, for us, it's marlin, tuna, all that sort of stuff. But a lot of people really target that meter barra, and that's the dream fish. And it sounds like you're definitely the bloke up that way that's going to get those people the best chance to get onto one of those fish.
Yeah, well, I hope so, mate. I've certainly been around the traps long enough to know how to give people the best opportunity as long as we're, you know, we have that conversation about how we can best figure out the trip together. And yeah, I mean, there's any amount of good operators up here. And if I'm booked out, I'm more than happy to put people onto some other good guys as well. And the other side of that, I guess, too, is we get plenty of groups of fellas that are, you know, 6, 8, 9, 12 guys and corporate groups around Darwin Cup and race days and things that are up to 40 blokes, so we can handle any group size. We work together, even though we're all individual businesses up here. We drink beers at the pub together, we work on the water together, we share groups and we share bookings. So we, you know, if you've got more numbers or if I'm busy, I can certainly put you onto another good operators. No worries about that.
No, awesome, mate. Well, look, really appreciate your time and jumping on the hook podcast. I hope we can help you and hope steer people in your direction. I look forward to, I'm going to keep an eye on your Facebook page now because I really want to see what your new toy is, the big boat. So I'll definitely be keeping an eye out on that. But I'll definitely be, if people are chasing that barra and they're going to be up your way, we'll definitely point them in your direction. And I look forward to hearing the success and seeing some more Facebook photos up on the old Facebook page.
Yeah, mate. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love listening to the show. And yeah, if we can all work together, everyone has a bit more fun and we can share our knowledge. And you know, next time I'm down south again, I'll come and knock on your door and you can take me down to Portland and try and catch a tuna with me.
Sounds like a plan, mate. More than welcome anytime. Just let us know. And I can't guarantee it, but you know, we'll definitely give it a red hot crack for you anyway.
We all know there's no guarantees in fishing, mate, but you'll guarantee me the best opportunity, won't you?
Yeah, I'll definitely give it a crack.
Good on you, mate.
All right, buddy. Well, once again, appreciate you joining the Hook podcast, and yeah, we'll definitely be in touch.